gentlemen, I present to you a vision.
Just another movie night.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the show. We are Just Another Movie Night, and I am Scott.
And I'm Joe.
And today we are doing before and after reviews, where we go see a brand new movie in the theater and give our thoughts before and after.
Spoiler free.
We say spoiler free, but we've recently been changing it up a little bit. If it needs be, we put a little spoiler, spoiler alert at the end here, and then do a little one at the end. But we try to give it as straight after the movie we can. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. We try. We try our best. Today we are talking about Francis Ford Coppola's Megalopolis. He hasn't directed a feature-length movie since 2011. And in fact, he did a movie I've never even heard of called Twixt.
Huh.
Yeah, with Val Kilmer? I have never heard of this. It's supposed to be a psychological horror film.
It's
supposed to be complete crap. So I guess we're going to be watching it on our other show, Talking Trash, very shortly.
Oh, no. It pains me to have to do a Coppola movie on Talking Trash. I mean, it doesn't seem right. It doesn't seem natural.
He's one of these legendary directors who's done so many great films, but as the years go on, some of these directors fall off.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when they come back and they decide to do CG movies. And that's what we're going to be in for tonight, as far as I can tell. Now, this movie, I think this movie has been in his brainchild since the 80s, he's been working on this movie. And Lawrence Fishburne even said, while they were working on Apocalypse Now, that he was talking about it then. And that was the 70s.
Oh.
So I don't know how much of that is true, but I guess he's been trying to come up with a story for a very, very long time. And since it took this long, worrisome.
Yeah.
And also, nobody would really produce this film. He did it out of his own pocket, $120 million.
Wow. Well, you know, he does have enough money. I'm just saying.
I guess so.
But I get it. I understand why people are worried to take a chance. But, like, this is Francis Ford Coppola we're talking about. He's a legend. So I feel like, what?
Yeah, I mean, it's one of these directors that when you say he has enough money, it's not one of these blockbuster filmmakers who have really had a huge success. I mean, he's made some giant movies, but I don't know where those would rank in the top money makers. You know what I'm saying? This is one of those directors in the style of like Tarantino or somebody like that who have made hits and movies that people know, but not these like James Cameron, Steven Spielberg.
He doesn't make, you know, epics. He doesn't make those kind of big budget.
He does.
Big, know, like the special effects driven kind of thing.
They've been very small, like character study films. And those are my favorite of his movies. Of course, The Godfather. And I absolutely love The Conversation. I know it's always like kind of debated if it's a great movie. I love it.
Well, yes.
But it's a small movie. And I think that's where he excels. I also think he doesn't get enough credit. I like The Rainmaker a lot. I don't know why people don't talk about that film enough, but it's a pretty damn good film.
Yeah, I think so too.
He's made some classics, but it's been a long time. And this is one of those movies that, now we saw a trailer probably once a week for an entire year on a movie called Speak No Evil. But Megalopolis, we have seen two trailers.
Yes.
And they have shown absolutely nothing that made sense.
I know. That's why I'm totally intrigued by this film, because I'm like, wait, what? It looks dark, which I love.
Yeah.
I love that. So.
And it seems to only be trying to market itself and sell itself on two things.
The cast.
The cast.
Mm-hmm.
which is a shit ton of people, and also the idea of the legendary filmmaker of such hits as this, this, and this, Francis Ford Coppola.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't necessarily think that's the best-selling marketing strategy of your film.
No.
Yeah.
I feel like they should have put out something more, but have you heard anything about this? Like, have they done anything in, like, Cannes or...
Yes.
So...
Not so good.
Not so good.
Yeah, we're in for a treat.
Shit.
Yeah. I've heard this movie's been sitting on a shelf for a while, too.
Yeah, that's never a good sign. But, yeah. Okay. So, we have to just make up our own minds about this, because if they flopped at Cannes... But then again, so many movies that we don't really care much
It doesn't
for.
Really matter to us.
I mean, it doesn't matter. No, it really doesn't. I mean, either way, we'll make up
I'm
our
intrigued.
Own mind. I'm very intrigued.
I'm intrigued, but I'm cautiously optimistic about the poor, seemingly dissolving career of Adam Driver, who was at a very high point of his life career. And then he's been doing such big movies with such great directors that have all been kind of flopping out. So I'm kind of nervous all around, since he is the star and Francis Ford Coppola is the director. I'm just like, oh no, again?
Yeah, we haven't been disappointed in any of his performances. It might be like, you know, the movies aren't that wonderful. You know, I think he's a really,
He's a good actor. He's been trying to do multiple different roles. I know a lot of people go after him for his accents, whatever, but... He is scratched from, like, came out of nowhere and quickly rose to the length of being the main star in every huge director's movie
at one point. He really has. So, I don't know. I mean, I can't say either way what I'm going to come out of this with, because I really just don't know enough about the movie or what to expect.
It's hard to even talk about.
I'm hoping to come out with at least a 7, but I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know.
Okay.
Well, now that I know about the whole Cannes Film Festival thing, I'm not going to think about that. I'm going to go in my own mind. So we'll see what happens.
All right, let's go check it out.
Okay.
One filmmaker has always been ahead of his time.
Time's up!
Go. From visionary writer and director Francis Ford Coppola comes an event nothing can prepare you for.
Imagine today's society as a branch of civilization about to reach a dead end. Is this way we're living the only one that's available to us? My plan is a city that people can dream about.
Megalopolis.
What about those standing in your way?
Power the people!
Who like it the way it is?
People don't need dreams. People need help now.
Don't let the now destroy the forever.
We're in need of a great debate about the future!
Enjoy the show.
Hello, and welcome to Talking Trash. Here we are, doing Talking Trash.
No, we're not doing Talking Trash. I can't.
We're back.
Oh my god.
We're back, and we're turning it from before and after reviews into complete Talking Trash, because I think we both agree, do not see this movie.
Okay, well, I'd like to personally thank Francis Ford Coppola for destroying several actors for me. And also, those several actors, thanks for ruining your own careers, because this fucking sucked. And I didn't think that it was possible for these actors to be this awful. Like, they're great actors. And they're fucking awful.
My stomach just went nuts. Even my stomach is angry about this movie.
Yeah, your stomach is raging right now.
Do not make the mistake of blaming these actors.
I do blame them. They read the script. Okay, this thing, what is this thing? What is it?
I mean, you hear that, like, Francis Ford Coppola is going to work on a movie, and then you just assume that it's going to be something at least decent.
Why would you assume that? He's 85. He's fucking crazy. He's senile. What is this that he made? What is it?
Well,
he's 85 years old trying to write a movie like this. Like, it's just no.
Here's the difference, right? The difference between Neil Breen and Francis Ford Coppola is $120 million.
Oh my
God. Because this is literally a Neil Breen film. The same message, the entire thing is just Neil Breen.
Well, I think Neil Breen is crazy as hell. So I get it. Yeah. I mean, that's why he makes those kind of movies.
Yeah, no, I mean, but he's got a message. You say he's crazy as hell. He's got a message, and his message is world peace. You know, how we'll all be judged for evil things. I mean, he has a theme in all of his movies. Francis Ford Coppola literally did the same fucking movie that Neil Breen has done 20 times.
You are correct about that. However, you are correct about Neil Breen having a system. But I don't understand why Francis Ford Coppola I just want to know what he was going for. What were you thinking with this movie? It was 2 hours and 18 minutes long, and he felt every second of it. I mean, we thought we were watching the movie for 3 hours, and we had only been in for 20 minutes. It was bonkers. I don't understand what he set out to accomplish. So I need help with that.
Well, what do you mean, what he has sent, said?
I don't understand what this movie is supposed to mean.
This movie is be good people to each other. And that, like taking away being the government and the rich, taking away, you know, things from each other and stealing just for their own personal gain is bad.
Of course. Okay.
That's the message.
But do you think that he could have made that statement in a more subtle, understandable way?
I mean, there's nothing about it that's not unexplainable. It's literally there in front of you, beating you over the head for a 2 hour runtime. It's telling you what it is. The only problem with it is overindulgence. This movie is the most overindulgent film I have seen in a long time. I can only imagine there's been an hour of this movie cut. There's so many problems in this film. I know that there was an hour of this movie on the editing floor because in one hilarious moment, they just go, I remember your uncle. He's dead. And they show a shot of Dustin Hoffman getting crushed by boulders.
I mean,
it just comes out of nowhere.
You know, this is like a situation where I was like so happy to see a lot of these actors because you just don't see them often anymore. Like, this is Dustin Hoffman. Wasn't he with John Voight in Midnight Cowboy ages ago? So it's kind of cool to see them together. But then there was no rhyme or reason for either one of them to be really in the movie. John Voight had a bigger part than Dustin Hoffman did.
Yeah. The best bow and arrow sequence since Game of Thrones. Both have to do with somebody in an awkward position saying something awkward and then shooting somebody with an arrow. It is the funniest arrow kill I have ever seen in my life. This movie had some of the worst special effects, the worst acting. This movie is exactly what George Lucas was doing when he was doing the prequels. It's just somebody who is like, I have a lot to say. I have some cool thoughts. And technology's cool. Except on here, it looks like shit. It's
terrible.
There's a couple, like, you've seen it in the trailers of, like, statues moving. Those look good. Those statues moving, that looks cool. It doesn't fit into the movie. It's just really, really, really bad plotting. And so bad that they're like, people don't know that the slums are really bad and that there's no justice down there anymore. So let's show everybody not only show them with statues of justice dying, and then the character literally says, oh my God, justice is dying out here. And then in the next shot, have Lawrence Fishburne narrating to himself in a car. I think he's writing an autobiography throughout the film.
Yeah.
And then have another character also dictating to a Ring recorder of some sort that never is even told to us. She just has a blue light on a ring and she's like talking to it. And she's saying random things like, oh my God, he's buying flowers. Who could he be buying flowers for? Oh my God, he loves his wife? I can't believe it.
I can't.
What?
I mean, the imagery was so bonkers, but I have to say that I feel like I was on some kind of like acid trip, although it was like a really bad one, because there was no rhyme or reason to anything that was happening in this movie for me. And the dialogue was so bad, and the line delivery was so bad. This is like the epitome movie. This is like a poster movie for actors who like when an actor goes bad. Like when an actor goes bad.
I need you to stop saying that, because you're only as good as your director, and these people are good actors.
Which we've said before.
This is how you know it's bad directing. There's a sequence where a character comes in a room while the other character's eating. By the way, if you didn't know already, Francis Ford Coppola is thinking he's making a very important message while also trying to be Citizen Kane, and it is very off-putting to watch someone try to be something. And then there's two characters are sitting at a dinner table or whatever, and she comes in, and she doesn't know what to do in the scene or the shot, and the director is not really telling her how to flow or shooting it in a way where the character feels natural. So when she goes and walks over to tip over empty bottles on the floor, she literally has to do it like it's the first run through. Like she's just like, oh, you drank a lot of alcohol. Here's a bottle. Whoop, I put it on the floor. Next scene, and she walks over to the next shot. It is so, you can see how everybody didn't know exactly how to flow into the next scenes or what they were doing. Nobody had an actual cohesive understanding of the movie itself. I mean, like Adam Driver thinks he's in a Shakespeare movie.
Oh my God.
Right? Aubrey Plaza thinks she's in some kind of comedy. John Voight thinks that he is just playing out his Hollywood fantasies. I have no idea. Everybody in this movie, Jason Schwartzman just shows up and he's just there to be like in the background just because I'm related. Same thing with his sister. They're just there.
And yeah. Their Talia Shire shows up. She's, you know, she doesn't make movies anymore, but I guess she did it because it's her brother. But you're right. You're right. I shouldn't say when actors go bad, because honestly this was a collective effort of just awfulness. Like I can see if one person's line delivery was trash, like Natalie Portman as Queen Amidala,
exactly,
like when she delivered that speech, I will say no treaties on it all.
Yeah, and she can't move her neck. It's not her fault.
It's not her fault, but this was a collective like clusterfuck. Like it was, they were all bad. And if I can say the words Giancarlo Esposito was bad.
He's not. He's the best part of this whole movie.
He carried this bad
thing. He carried this movie. He on might his have back.
Carried it, but he was bad.
I don't know when he was bad. It wasn't that he was bad. He literally was making that dialogue, that shit dialogue, into something readable. I mean, like every time he was on screen, I was like, he is the only one trying, like that seems to know how to push this up.
I just don't agree with you. I think like.
All right, we got to do something. I can't do it anymore. Hold on. 9-something. When you hear the buzz, you gotta just grab it for me. 9-something.
Okay.
9:30. Sorry.
Oh no! So
you're saying he was bad? Yeah. I don't see it.
I think every single person in this movie did not do their best. I thought that they were all terrible. They're terrible.
I would disagree. I don't think they were necessarily bad. I think that some people just didn't know what they were doing. They didn't have any directing being told to them. They didn't seem like there was a setup or I don't even know if maybe the script pages weren't handed to them in time or who knows, because I know tons of actors went through this movie and like he kept picking a new actor.
Mm-hmm.
So I know a lot of actors were hired apparently and then left, like Oscar Isaac was the main character, mm-hmm. and Francis Forrest Whitaker was apparently.
He made a good choice to leave.
Yeah, I think so too. And I think that really came down to not really understanding what this movie is. And I can't blame them. I can't blame Giancarlo for being hired and having his wife be the actress that she is, like how odd they are together. And you don't even know that they're supposed to be husband and wife. And then when they say it, you're like, oh, that they're husband and wife?
Yeah, no idea.
Is she the mother of this girl? I don't think so. Is she a stepmom? Or are you going to be told? No, moving on. I on so many levels, it's like the movie does not even know what it put into its own movie. And what's odd about it is if they cut stuff out, the stuff that they left in is so unbelievably, disturbingly stupid and amateurish.
Yeah.
Like, I swear that there are scenes in this that when you go to like Planet Earth, the movie, like in the IMAX, and you experience like scenes from around the world, it's so cool. But can imagine that in the middle of your movie, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, that doesn't get explained. It's just like, here's some shots of the world.
Yeah.
It's like a National Geographic.
I'm not going to lie. I did have a lot. I didn't understand a lot of what's going on. Like, Adam Driver is supposed to be, are they saying that he's like God?
No.
Because he can stop time. Can you help me?
I think that's a metaphor for a person, you know, feeling like they have to do things and that they're in a rush. You know, like they say these creators are always creating and they don't have time for a life. You know, what was it? I don't know if it's Albert Einstein. He had the same outfit every day because he felt like anything that would change what he was doing would slow him down. And he would lose time.
Okay, but that's not what's happening here.
That's the message of the movie. He's trying to create.
Yeah, I get he's trying to create.
And he's an artist. And so the artist is like, I don't have time to slow down. So when you see that stuff like, I can freeze time, I think that is making moments for time in his life for other feelings or other things. I think that's all that is. It's just some stupid message about, like, having the moment of time to have a wife and a child and have friends and family and good times and happiness. Because I have to create. I have to make a better world. I'm a person who's trying to save the world. I don't have time for myself. I only think that's what that was. I mean, and if it was something, I don't care. If it's something else, oh my God, I could care less.
I get what Francis Ford Coppola was going for when he wrote this movie, but you know, what is one man's dream of perfection is another man's complete horror. I mean, just because he had a dream of utopia and what utopia would be like, why does he think that other people would go along with it? So he wanted to build this world, this perfect world for everybody, where people can have gardens in their backyard and sunshine all the time and happy and, you know, whatever. There were people fighting against this. There were people about to lose their homes. There were people fighting against this dream. So where does he get the freaking audacity to change things the way he wants them to be? That's what I need to know.
Well, I mean, that the philosophical debate on is one man's dream of the future of harmony and peace, that's a whole nother debate that'll take forever. And we're not in this movie, in this specific movie, what they're trying to say is that he came up with they don't even tell us how he got this new material. They hint at something to do with his dead wife, and I literally never gets explained. One character just whispers it into another character's ear in the open. I have no idea. But he has a new element of some sort that he can create a renewable source of energy and building and healing. And it's just like it's the Metachlorians. It's the whatever MacGuffin that you need to have the thing happen. And he can create anything out of it. And he wants to create a world where people don't have to be put into like slums, and they don't have to be thinking they need to struggle for money to survive. He wants to make a world for us to live in peace and harmony together.
And that and idea I debate, love. Which, yeah.
Yeah, of course. I mean, that's the dream goal, right? But what's really odd in this film and what makes it confusing is he starts leveling people's houses and buildings, and they don't explain or show him ever talking to the people he has just made homeless.
Right.
And then another character, Shia LaBeouf shows up, and then he's got no eyebrows, but he shows up and he makes the people that are now homeless follow him, but he's doing it in a not, he's not doing it for them. He's doing it for his own goals.
For his selfish reasons, because he wants his grandfather to leave him, you know, I guess leave him his legacy, his money, and there's so many little plot lines going on in here.
But that's the point, you were asking the question, so I'm just trying to say, like, well, of course, they say that the rich will abuse the people who are feeling like they're slighted, right? And so he's trying to create a utopia for everybody. Of course, it takes him what seems like forever. And then he holds it off forever, and then he's leveling their homes, and the movie doesn't even try to explain why these people shouldn't be mad.
Right.
Like, he's just leaving them homeless while he does this?
Right, that's what I'm saying. It's like his utopia is not someone else's utopia.
I mean, his utopia is everybody's utopia, but the way he's going about it, the movie doesn't even seem to want to explain to you why he's doing the way he's doing it.
Yeah,
like, it makes sense. All he has to tell people is, like, I'm creating utopia. Come with me.
Yeah, well, where the hell are they going to live? If
you
allow
me
to knock
your houses down, you can come with me and live with me, and we'll make utopia together, and everybody start working together. But
that's not his goal at all.
It is his goal, but he just doesn't go about it the right way. It's not even his way. It's the movie not explaining itself in any way that makes any sense. Like, we have an entire drug bender, and it goes on and on and on, and you're like, why is he doing this? Why did he become this character all of a sudden? What is going on with our main character? Is he a good guy? Is he a bad guy? It doesn't make sense. And then when the movie shows you, it's like, no, he's literally just trying to do good things. It doesn't set him up in any way that he makes him seem like a good guy. He can't even put his own fucking jacket on without sadly, Lawrence Fishburne being shown as an Alfred character who has to dress him. And
I know he's a butler
who's narrating.
I'm sorry, after 6 collaborations with Francis Ford Coppola, I think that Lawrence Fishburne deserves a little bit more.
Yeah, why couldn't he be the main character?
Why couldn't he? Right. I feel like this is a waste of a good actor. I like Lawrence Fishburne. And, like, why is he just in the background narrating? First of all, we agree. We've always agreed that the narration in a movie is terrible. Freaking,
especially awful. When the movie starts with it. It starts with a narration, but it also has the text on the wall, on the screen. That's like if Star Wars started and they had to tell it to you as it was going by.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, it's so lazy. Like, either don't have the text, or have the text and let us read it, or you have the narration and on something else, which would probably have been the smartest thing. This is next level, unbelievably bad.
If this sounds crazy to all of you, imagine what we were thinking. We were sitting there. This movie was all over the place. There was 9 plots going on at all times, short plots, but plots nonetheless. And then by the time you get to the end of the movie, you're literally just wanting to punch yourself in the face to wake up.
It's like the most immature version of, like, if someone kid was handed, here's a binder, you know, here's a pad of paper. Write to me a story about how we can create peace in the world. And this is what they would write. This is literally that story. It's like, and then girl and guy have baby. Girl and guy who married? Right. I don't know. Bad guys want money? Ex-lover want money? Like,
It was very, like, almost childlike. That's why it makes sense that an 85-year-old man wrote this. I felt like...
Over 30 years, 40 years. Like,
what is going on? Like, have you lost your mind? This is Francis Ford Coppola. I mean, for Christ's sake. I mean, I felt like I was taking crazy pills. I didn't understand a damn thing that was happening. I mean, I understood the main plot and what he was trying to go for about the whole utopia, better society thing. But I feel like I would never have gone this route to execute it. Never.
Oh, my God.
It was so bizarre.
There is a scene in this movie where I don't want anybody to see it. So I'm going to keep spoiling it because there is literally no way to spoil it at this point.
It's just don't see this movie.
He gets shot in the face because, of course, you know, like... a person who's trying to make good in the world always gets assassinated, right? So the movie's got to be like, oh, you know, he gets shot in the face. And it's probably one of the best shot scenes in the movie where I was like, oh, that felt real good. Mm-hmm. Like, that feels like a good, well-made scene. Then they follow it up with some unbelievable nonsense of using his element that he's building a city with to stick into his face with someone's hair.
Yeah, I don't know.
And then
they're saying that's his dead wife's hair. They're saying that.
But how did she get it?
I don't know.
Because the body was missing.
Right. Supposedly his wife, who he was madly in love with, drowned. Okay.
But why did the opening say that she died of an insulin overdose?
Right. And then somehow they said that Giancarlo Esposito had something to do with prosecuting him for her murder. Like, he prosecuted Adam Driver for his wife's murder, and he was exonerated, obviously. But where the fuck is her body, and how do you have a strand of hair? That's why I'm telling you, I thought at that one point he was supposed to be God, because then I feel like he's creating the Garden of Eden and everything. He's creating, like, almost like new life. So I was like, okay, what? This is crazy. This is bonkers.
They heal his face, and he walks around with, like, a really bad CG, like, skeleton eye on his face, and he just keeps going, and it is next level bad. Made me laugh. I was laughing in the theater. I'm like, what is happening?
I feel like, you know, you're getting mad at me for saying that these actors have gone wrong. Now, let me tell you.
It really has to do with the director.
It does have a lot to do with the director. However,
this is a prime example.
You are reading a script before you take this role. I mean, you know what this is.
So if the script is nonsense, like what it was, the famous quote from Harrison Ford with George Lucas's original script before people polished it up. What did Harrison Ford famously said? Something like, you know, you can write this shit, George, but I can't read it. And that's exactly what's happening here, is he can write it, and they can only read it. You know what I mean? They can only read it. But to make it look believable, they need a director to shoot it and film it in a way where it sells it.
Mm-hmm.
But nothing is being sold. Like, nothing is being sold. The scene in which our lead actor and lead actress are in a lift going up on the side of a building, I guess one of those ones that you paint or clean the windows.
Yeah.
They're going up the window, the side of the building, and it looks like it came from the Bulk movie.
Amazing Bulk. Yeah, like it was literally done. By a 14-year-old with a freaking computer.
It's so embarrassingly bad.
Yeah. I've never seen anything like it.
It looked like when Ice Cube jumped on the bullet train tracks and started riding it out of nowhere in State of the Union.
Can I give you a fun fact? Why do you got to go back to that? That was better than this.
Oh.
But I'll tell you what. I read that Francis Ford Coppola fired his entire special effects staff and rehired the staff that he originally wanted, which is the creator, the CGI people for The Mandalorian. And that's who did this movie, supposedly.
I want to know if they used some effects from somebody else and then they changed it. Because, like I said, the statue effects look great. Like, they're really, really good. But then the fact that we're talking about with the building and some of the other effects, like, in along those lines, are bad. And it is like I can't tell if they just ran out of money. I have no idea.
I heard that Francis Ford Coppola financed so many of his own movies
but they all made profits.
But he had to. The profits that he made were basically to pay off his debts from the other movies. So when he did make a profit, he was just paying off debt. And I have a feeling he is going to be hardcore in debt over this movie. This is crazy. I feel terrible for him because, you know, he still has a vision and he still can direct, you know, at 85 years old. But I feel as though he put all his eggs in one basket in this movie. He shouldn't have done this the way he did. There's a way to tell a story and there's a way not to tell a story. And he went the completely wrong way. There's a way you could tell, you know, your story about wanting to have a better world and make everybody, you know, feel feel happy and content and live a nice life. There's a way to tell that story without confusing the shit out of your audience and also making us exhausted, because I myself am exhausted. The last movie I wanted to end really bad was Babylon, and I would watch that again any day.
I knew you were going to bring Babylon up because Babylon also seems a little self-indulgent.
It is,
and a little overly long. But so the thing about Babylon is it is really well directed, and it has a lot of good performances in it, and there are some really good sequences.
Mm-hmm.
But that movie is long.
Yes, it is.
It's longer than this movie. And at the hour and 20-minute mark, I believe, I asked you, there's no way there can be more than 10 more minutes. And you said, we have another hour.
Mm-hmm.
And then about 10 minutes after that, you said, I want to go home. And I started laughing, and I'm like, we can do it. I was so exhausted.
I just never wanted a movie to end this bad.
This is probably one of the worst theater watches I have seen in a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think, has there been something that angered me? Like, I hate Fast and the Furious X or whatever the hell it was. This was worse.
Why is it always got to come back to Vin?
I'm trying to think of, well, hey, he did it to himself.
Fucking Vin.
This is worse. This was tough.
It was brutal. It was a brutal smashing of all my hopes and dreams.
There's so many things. During the movie, I kept thinking, I can't wait to talk about this scene. I can't wait to talk about this scene. And it's all flowing out of my brain because every 10 minutes there was another scene that I was like, what is this? Like, what is going on? When they're all talking like Shakespearean and then they're not. And then they are. And you're like, wait, what is this? Are they supposed to be talking? Is this a Shakespeare-esque movie? Is that what he's doing? He's trying to make his own like Shakespearean play?
Yeah.
And then it's like, no, he's not. It's just that Adam Driver feels like talking like that sometimes. I don't know why.
It was so... it was too much for him.
Can we talk about Adam Driver? Yeah. He has hit peak Muppet look in this movie. He looks like he's either going to throw up or cry in every single shot of this movie. I could not unsee it. He looked like Scooter. If they put like a couple little pairs of phony glasses on him, I would have been like, he has hit peak Muppet. Like, I just could not take him seriously as a leading man.
It was the haircut.
I couldn't take him seriously as... I could not take him seriously in this role at all.
Nope.
I could not see this beautiful actress falling in love with him.
Natalie Emmanuel from Game of Thrones. She plays Miss Sandry.
Or unfortunately.
Don't say it. Don't say Fast and the Furious, you motherfucker. But yeah, so she's beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. Gorgeous, gorgeous woman. She was not bad. She was okay. She did okay. Considering everyone else's line delivery, was
giving them all passes,
the better one.
But she had no... That sequence where she was watching him with the flowers, every time they showed her, it was like she was being told, this is a really important emotional scene, and she is giving it way too much, and nothing was happening in the scene.
Mm-hmm.
So every time she cried or was like gasping, like she has seen something shocking, it made no sense. And so I couldn't stop laughing at her. And the same thing with like the bottles. Like, she doesn't know. There's a scene. They're on a train all of a sudden, and the one character seeing the baby for the first time or whatever. And then a guy just walks over, a train conductor of some sort, or a guy on the train with them. We don't even know whose train this is, where they're going, what's happening. We just know that they're alone on a train car. Mm-hmm. And a train conductor guy comes over and goes, I just found out they're stopping looting and rioting in the streets. And then he looks at the camera, looks around, and he's like, do I move out of the scene now? Like, you could just see it.
Yeah, it was very off-putting. And I could
not stop staring at him. I know I was supposed to, like, shift to the other characters.
Yeah.
No, I was watching the guy confused as to what to do next.
He was very confused.
And that's literally sums up this entire movie. Everybody was like, confusion. What do I do? What do I do now?
100% confusion. Confusion from the actors, confusion for the audience, confusion for for Francis Ford Coppola, who's completely confused because he doesn't even know what the hell's going on.
And watching some of these great actors appear in this movie and not know what they were doing. Like D.B. Sweeney, is just standing there.
Okay.
And I was like, why is he in this movie? Like, he literally looks tired and sick. And he's just standing in the background half the time.
Yeah. How about James Remar's in this movie?
Oh, my God. Hello? One line of dialogue.
Are you kidding me right now? Like, you're putting these major awesome actors in the background.
The background.
Are you fucking kidding me, man?
Lawrence Fishburne disappears halfway through the movie all of a sudden. They don't tell us anything. And then he reappears for like one line.
Yeah.
And I was like, he was like a main part. And then the same thing goes with Dustin Hoffman. Mm-hmm. He just goes, okay, I'm going to go take care of this thing that's really important. It's going to be a big scene. And he's gone. Mm-hmm. And they just go, oh, he died.
It's shocking. It's shocking when those kinds of things happen with these awesome actors.
Yeah.
And then you've got scenes like Aubrey Plaza shoving her peach in Shia LaBeouf's face for no reason.
Unbelievable.
For 15 minutes in the movie.
Yeah.
Like, we're wasting time on her sitting on his face when we could have, you know, other scenes with actors that just got thrown to the freaking, you know, in the shit. They just got thrown away.
How about a 15-minute song from a girl that we just saw 5 seconds ago where people are bidding on her virginity?
Yeah, I don't even know.
For her to keep her virginity?
Oh, my God.
I didn't know what was happening. I was like, who is this now? Why should we care? What is it? What does it mean to help bid money on her to protect her virginity?
Yeah, I have no idea.
What does that mean?
What these rich people were bidding
and
on?
And then she like multiplied?
I don't know.
I didn't know what was happening. I still don't know if I know what happened.
No, I don't know either. I don't know. I'm telling you, confusion is the word to use when describing this movie. This was a hot mess of a movie.
Now, so we said all that. I went on IMDb and I glanced at the reviews and I saw five tens.
No.
Five tens.
Oh, my God. Those people need to have their heads examined. I know that art is subjective, and I know that everyone's entitled to their own opinion, but this movie was flat out bad. And let me tell you, we have seen some crap.
Oh, yeah.
Okay? We have seen some real garbage.
Now, can I say that? Because we do Talking Trash, and we give every movie a second chance. We watch everything. We give so many things passes, and we find things likable that a lot of people would think is the worst movie ever made. And we talk about it all the time, right? The difference with a lot of those movies is they cost probably 40, like a 10 million to 40 million.
Mm-hmm.
This is $120 million completely thrown out the window.
Yeah, what did they spend the money on besides the actors? Because CG's trash.
Yeah, but the CG is expensive. And that's what I'm saying. They must have like cut corners a lot.
I'm just in shock.
I'm in shock too.
I mean, I've never encountered a budget like that.
We just saw The Substance. Yeah. Which I'm sure cost only like, if I had to guess, it was a very small budget.
I think it was a very small budget. I want to say like, I mean, 40 million, I think. Let me see.
I mean, that's not small to me, but I would say if it was less than 40 million, then I'd be like, okay, because that movie looked great. Like every single shot looked great and the special effects were really top notch.
Yeah.
And the practical effects were top notch. After seeing that and then seeing this, I'm like, holy crap. And that's what I'm saying. If you told me that Francis Ford Coppola really didn't make this movie, it was Neil Breen, and he had $120 million, I would believe it. The only way I wouldn't believe it is that he didn't put himself as Adam Driver.
True.
But, I mean, this is...
This is next level. I mean...
What do you want to give it out of 10?
Yes, The Substance was made on a budget of $17.5 million.
$17.5 million. And it looks that great.
That movie looked fucking awesome, man.
That's what I'm talking about.
I am in shock.
Unbelievable.
What I'm going to give this, and sorry for the crazy rants and everything. We were all over the place on this one because I just can't. I don't even know what the hell happened.
Do not see it. It is going to be I think this has to be my worst movie of the year so far.
This is the worst movie
of the year. And people are going to be talking about Madam Web and all that, and the Imaginary and all that. No.
Mm-mm.
No, I'm going to give those movies passes. I don't know how much Madam Web cost, but at least I understood. I don't know. We'll talk about it later on in the year, but what are you going to give this out of 10?
I hate to say it. But I'm literally giving this a 3. I hated it.
I want to give it a 2.
I'm giving it a 3 because there were, I mean, it's Francis Ford Coppola. He's not a bad director, but
bad directors make bad films. I mean, good directors make bad films. I mean,
so I mean, this movie was fucking awful.
This
was
painful.
I'm not gonna lie, though. I do like Aubrey Plaza. I thought she was being herself in it, sort of.
Yeah,
but
it didn't work here at all.
It just didn't work.
And I like her, and this movie made me very appalled by her in this movie. I don't know, when she was doing her TV anchor character in this movie, where she was like, it was so bad that I could not believe what I was watching. I was like, this is supposed to be like this? Or
yeah, I thought it was just like a joke. I don't know, like maybe they were putting on a play or something like that. No, I mean, I feel...
With the arrow? Oh my God.
Yeah, so I
the
can't.
Arrow. Oh my God.
I know. Anyway, you know what? I think I just have to, I think I am going to give this a 2. I was being too generous with the 3. I think I was just trying to be generous because he's such a freaking icon, Francis Ford Coppola, you know?
And the only reason I'm giving it a 2 is some people are trying. He's got a message that is good. It is just so
poorly executed.
It's like a young person trying to figure out what is good and what's bad. You know, that's all I could see. It is like, this is the most, you know, juvenile way of thinking about how we can make perfection. And it was like, yeah, your message is like, if you can make a mineral or like some kind of element that just creates life, sure.
Yeah, sure. I mean, why don't you share it with the people who are suffering in the hospitals?
He was trying to, but I'm just saying,
but they didn't show us anything.
No,
like
I know
that.
But that was the whole point of the ending, with his stupid rant in front of people. That was like, hey, this is supposed to be uplifting speeches. No. This isn't Bill Pullman in ID4, you know what I mean? It was awful. Just like, you know what, people can be better and I hope for better. Let people in. It's like, this isn't inspiring me at all, buddy.
It is wrong.
I have to go 2. And the only reason I'm not going to lower or 1 is because of those little things. Like, yes, it's got a good message, whatever. But I would never, ever be able to sit through this again.
I will never.
That's what I'm saying.
Ever there is, watch this movie again.
There is no way I could see this. The only way I could see this is when I can't wait to see is people online dissecting how bad this is.
I mean, I want to know what people are getting out of this, like, that actually, you know, like this movie. I just want to know, what are you getting at? It was just terrible all around.
I want to know if those 10s are just people who are like, Francis Ford Coppola, we love you regardless.
No.
We definitely have to watch this horror movie he did last. Oh, I need to know now how bad that is.
I need a break for a bit.
All right. All right, you got any final thoughts?
No, just don't go see this shit. And it's 2 hours and 18 minutes of your life. You'll never get back.
Hey, thanks for listening, guys. I'm sorry for the ranting. I'm sorry for the raving. I'm sorry for the spoilers. But you know what? You're better off. There is no actual way for you to spoil this movie. Because if you watch it, you're going to be just like us going, huh, what? Oh, and everything is not going to make sense. By what we just ranted about, it literally just still doesn't put the movie in perspective of what they're actually trying to get at. So, thanks for listening to us rant. Tell us what you think online on Instagram at Just Another Movie Night and Joe at The Crafty Misfit. And we appreciate you for listening. You know what? It's time to go to bed. Have a good one, everybody. Bye.
There's still so much to accomplish, but is there time? Go.
Francis Ford Coppola's Megalopolis.